At Miracle Center Christian Fellowship, we are presenting the gospel of the kingdom in worship, word, and service with excellence in motion. Our bishop, Dr. Murphy, has led more than 1 million people to Jesus Christ and has ordained many born-again, spirit-filled believers to the fivefold ministry office of apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher, with an additional ordination of many to the office of bishop. He is respected around the world as a conduit of God's presence and as a representative of God's voice, relationship, and leadership to a world in pursuit of God's governing presence. From Miracle Center Christian Fellowship, here is Bishop Dr. Richard Murphy with this week's message.
Well, today we're going to continue to talk about worship, and I want to talk to us today about the action of worship. The act of worship and the action of worship. And we're going to a passage that I've been talking to us from in the past, and that's Psalm chapter 95. We will deal primarily with this psalm today. In this psalm, you have it starting out with a verse or two dealing with thanksgiving or praise, depending on the version of the scripture you're reading from, whether it's King James or New International Version or one of the other versions, such as the Amplified. And then it goes into the aspect of worship. But in talking to us today about the act and action of worship, we're going to look at the importance of the entire person being involved in worship, or the involvement of the spirit, soul, and body in worship. We know from John chapter 4 that God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth, as we have established in our past sessions. But God also requires the entire body in worship. That's personal worship. But also the body is involved in corporate worship. In corporate worship, you have not only your physical body, but you also have the body of the family or the body of Christ, the body of Mashiach, the body of Messiah. So the scripture talks about us being members of the body of Christ. And so when we go into corporate worship, we will see how Romans 12 ties into that as well. Now, in Psalm 95, it starts out by saying, "Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms." This is a little bit like a few psalms later, Psalm 100, that talks to us about how to approach God and how to approach him in praise, but ultimately worshiping him, because in Psalm 100, it also uses one of the Hebraic words for kneel. And so you kneel before him. Of course, we know a main word there, barach, in the Hebrew, that is often used for praise, but it's primarily worship. And so in the Psalms here, in this particular Psalm, is starting out with them making a joyful noise. So that means the emotions are involved in worship. The will is involved in worship. Our thoughts are involved in worship. And that's what is called the soul, even though God is spirit and we worship him in spirit. But the soul is a part of spirit worship, just like the physical body is a part of spirit worship. God has given us a body to house us, and the soul is the connector, the great connector. When God breathed into man, he breathed into him life, or chai in the Hebrew, and man became a chai nefesh, a living being or a living soul, meaning that the physical body that was simply a corpse at the time as we would know it, void of life as we would know it today, then God connected his breath, bringing about a soul into that body. And that body has been often referred to as the person, but the body is really the house that we live in. The soul is something that we have that is that connector, but we personally, each of us, God made each of us in his own image after his own likeness. So we are a spirit living in a body, having a soul. And so when it comes to worship, the trichotomy, as some would say, or the triunity of the being, the body, the soul, and the spirit are operating together in worship. And so in Psalm 95, we see this aspect where the body is involved in praise or thanksgiving, but leading to worship. So here it is, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, like Psalm 100 and verse 1. Come before the Lord joyfully. Come before the Lord expressing one's emotions. Emotions are not to be left out of worship. Although worship is not totally emotional, emotions are not to be left out, because it is one third of the functionality of the soul. Soul functioning through mind, emotions, and will. The spirit functioning through conscience and intuition. The physical body functioning through the natural senses that we know of. And so in this triunity of a being, we are to worship God in spirit and worship God in truth. But as we worship him, we are to express the soul as well as the physical body. So the soul is active in spiritual worship, which is contrary to some thoughts that if anything is of the soul, it cannot be of the spirit. However, if the spirit is in charge, the soul submits. And when the soul submits to the spirit, then the soul is operating under spiritual guidance. The soul is operating in unity with the spirit, which is your spirit, which is operating in unity with the spirit of God. And the physical body is going to tag along and do what the spirit says, especially if the soul is in submission to the spirit. Most often, the soul acts independently of the spirit, and the body tags along with whatever the soul does. That's where lust and other things come in, because the body will simply respond through the natural senses to the mind, emotions, and the will, as opposed to the conscience and intuition of one's spirit that is led by the Word of God. Now, that's saying a whole lot just to get this point across, but I want to incorporate all of this for the sake of all of our listeners understanding that we are a three-part being in that sense, and that every part of us is to be involved in worship. Nothing is to be left out. And so when we're before God, we're going to involve every aspect of our being. He has created us, and his creation is going to worship him with all it is and all its worth. And so we come before him joyfully, we come before him singing, we come before God very much in a state of expression, and we simply are going to express ourselves. How many of you remember a song way back when called Express Yourself? So we can express ourselves to God. And here in this psalm, Psalm 95, once again, verse 2 says, let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. Verse 3, for the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. Here in the intellectual realm is being established in the mindset that God is a great God, but he's not only a great God, he's greater than all gods. In other words, he's King of kings and he's King of all creation, which means any false deity, he is King over all of that. Nothing can be compared to him. In fact, he says, I am the Lord thy God. Thou shalt have no other gods before me or beside me or what have you, because nothing else compares to him. And so as we're coming to him in worship, there is the understanding, once again, of who he is, where he is, what his status is, and what his essence is. So we're coming before him recognizing that he is in a class all by himself. Nothing else, no one else, and nothing in creation can compare to him. And we're worshiping someone that if he was to show the fullness of himself, it would destroy this physical body. The body couldn't handle the fullness of the presence of God. We couldn't even handle seeing the fullness of the presence. God had to say to Moses, I'll pass by and let you see my hinder side. I'll just let you see some of my glory. He couldn't handle that fullness of God in a fallen nature, in a body that's in a world that's a fallen world. Our nature is no longer fallen. We're born again. But this physical body is still here, and we are a born-again person inside of this physical body, which one day will change, and mortality will put on immortality. Corruptible will put on incorruptible. And that'll be a very powerful time for us for eternity, which is what God had intended from the beginning. So as we're on our way to worship, we are getting the whole being involved. And as we're getting the whole being geared up to worship God, that means we're getting rid of all distractions. We're getting rid of anything that would cause our mind to wander, our emotions to veer off, our thoughts to veer away from him. True worship, pure worship that we've been talking about, good worship, excellent worship, has nothing before God. Everything is placed in its rightful place and is placed in order so that as we come before him in worship, we are giving him all of us and nothing less. Every bit of us and nothing less. Verse 4, in his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. Verse 5, the sea is his. The sea is his. And he made it. And his hands formed the dry land. Just giving an account of the one that we are worshiping. In other words, it is revealing the value of the one worshiped, the worthiness of the one worshiped. So when we come before him to worship, we're learning through layers of involvement, through layers of revelation, the action and the activity of worship, the act of worship. Each time we worship God, he begins to reveal more and more to us if we are really genuine in our worship. If we're really genuine in our worship, nothing will be impossible for us. And that's not our reason for worshiping, but that is simply one of the benefits of worshiping God. We worship God because of his value, because of his essence, because of who he is. Without any other motive, we just worship him because of who he is. But there are great benefits to doing it. That's not to be the motivating factor. But can you imagine being involved with God righteously and wholeheartedly on any level and not having benefits from him? No more than your children or people who have favor with you would not benefit from honoring you and esteeming you. And so this is a recognition of him. Once again, verse 5 says, the sea is his, and he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Then you go on to verse 6 that says, oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Now you have those five verses prior to that, that's setting the stage for worship, that's giving us the reason for worship, that's giving us an understanding of the value of the one worshiped. And I've already given the definition of worship in the previous classes, so I won't go back to the definition because we have gotten that. And if you don't know that definition, then simply just go on media and listen to one of the classes or the classes. So now that we have let everything else move into its order. And we have directed everything in our lives so as decently and in order. Now we are approaching God without distractions. This is the action of worship. This is the act of worship. We are approaching God, Yahweh, without distractions. We are approaching Him without interferences. We are approaching Him with purpose and directive thought. We are directional in our approach. We know in whom we trust. We know the one we are approaching. We understand His value. We understand His worthiness. We understand who He is. And we understand His position. And so now we are going to approach Him unhindered. We're not looking down to pick stuff off the floor. We're not talking to one another. We're not wondering about what's going to happen later on in the day, et cetera, et cetera. No, we have taken care of all of that ahead of time. Cell phones are on mute. Hallelujah. Nobody is texting or looking at messages or anything like that and feels the urgency like they have to get up and go out and answer the phone. So this is the importance of this kind of thing when we're worshiping God. Now, praise is different. Thanksgiving is different. But worship, nothing interferes with that. Nothing interferes, let alone that little gadget, that technology that you have. It does not belong in a place of equality or authority over God. It doesn't belong in that realm of equality with Him or authority over Him. So never allow the tyranny of the urgent to become an idol in your worship. Don't mix your worship. Once again, it's different from other types of prayer. Worship is for God and for Him. How? Him alone. That's right. It's for God only. Praise can be for others. Thanksgiving can be for others. Petitioning and intercession for others. But worship is only for God. And so now that verse 6 has arrived, we have approached it. Oh, come, let us worship. It took 6 verses to get to worship in this psalm. That's how important it is. We're full of joy. We're full of thanksgiving. We're expressive in our emotions. We have made a decision with our thoughts, and now our will is involved. How is the will involved? He says, let us kneel and bow down. That's a willingness to do something. So now we're involving both the mind and the will along with the emotions in worship. Now, I can go on with here, but I want to just go over to Romans chapter 12. In Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, but especially verse 1 that we've talked about. In Romans 12, the body is involved in worship. The personification of an individual is involved, and also the corporate body of Messiah is involved. Romans 12:1 says, I beseech you, brethren, this is the King James Version, I beseech you, brethren, therefore, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. The New International Version says it's your spiritual worship. Other versions would have it in there, like the Complete Jewish, your spiritual act of worship or your service of worship unto God. It is the normal temple worship, as it is put. And so presenting one's body, not a dead sacrifice, which is different, remember? When animals are brought before God, they are brought and they are presented as a dead sacrifice. You killed the animal and the blood was used. In this situation, that's not necessary. The blood of Mashiach, the blood of the Messiah, has already taken care of us regarding atonement and so forth. Now He's calling us in worship, and in worship, we are to become a living sacrifice. Can you see the connection of having no distractions in worship? If you are a living sacrifice in worship, that means there are no distractions. That means nothing interferes with worship. That means you do absolutely nothing but concentrate on honoring, esteeming, venerating, and revering God Almighty. That is pure worship. And so, worship here in Romans 12, we are the body of Christ, and our spiritual worship is a presentation of life before God. We are presenting life as a sacrifice. We are sacrificial with our life. Present your body a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. Now, so if he's talking about the body there, he's also connecting the soul, because the body without the soul, there is no life, and the soul without the spirit, there is no life. So the triunity of the person is involved in this worship. And that is why worship is so important. People get lazy on worship. In worship, they just want to sit, and it becomes about them. They'll sit, and they think it's meditation time. They just sit and sit. Now, worship, if you notice anyone, any Orthodox or any conservative or any devoted Jewish person, when they are worshiping God, the last thing they're doing is sitting down and sitting still. They're rocking, moving, walking in motion, because that's what's involved in worship. This Western Christianity stuff where we just come and we just sit quietly and we don't want to be disturbed because it's based on how we feel. But worship, we share our emotions in worship, but our emotions are never to be a god. In other words, we worship God regardless of what's going on with the emotions, regardless of what battles we've had in the mind, or regardless of how challenging things are to the physical body. You've heard people say they've gotten so depressed that they didn't want to hear a scripture or anything else. That's dis-ease. Just because they don't want to hear a scripture when they're depressed doesn't mean they shouldn't hear one. Because at the entrance of his word comes light, and his word brings life. His word will help to ease that dis-ease and bring healing. But what they don't want to hear and shouldn't hear is condemnation and judgment from folks when they're going through depression. And so when we move into the area of worship, it's amazing how spirits begin to lift. Emotions will lift over time if we persevere with it. The very thing that the enemy and the flesh do not want us to do, as we involve ourselves in that very thing, that is worship, then the veil is lifted. Then the weight is lifted. Hallelujah. Then it becomes easier to put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Not just because of praise sake, but because of worship. Worship paved the way for that. So come, let us kneel and bow down. So there's an action part there, but there's the will involved in that aspect of worship. So as we're understanding this, remember, you're going to have some challenges with yourself, and I want to encourage you to challenge yourself in worship. Challenge yourself in worship. In other words, when you're worshiping God, you're going to find that there are things that you're doing right now you won't be doing a year from now. Little things that you haven't even considered. It's no bother to you. You have no idea that it's a distraction in worship. But the closer your experience with the understanding of worship and the involvement of worship, and the more involved you are with that, your spirit will go, I'm not going to do that anymore. No, I'm not going to. Something that has, it would be okay in praise. It would be okay in thanksgiving. It would be okay in just shouting to God. But in that time of worship, your spirit will become so in tune and so sensitive to God that little things that are so good and so righteous on so many levels, you'll say, no, because it doesn't belong there. And you have gotten to a place in your understanding and in your reverence of God that even those little things that others wouldn't pay any attention to, it will become a major distraction to you if you continued it. And you know, hallelujah, that you're getting someplace when those things begin to happen in your life. But that's also when you will hardly notice when others do you wrong, because love will move forward. Those are the times when you will hardly even recognize, and many times won't even recognize, the attacks of the enemy coming at you, because before they get there, worship will have blocked them and taken care of them. And that battle will be over before you even know about it, and you may never know about it, because in times like that, even in certain times of praise, like Halal and so forth, and when they were in Tehillah, praise before God, Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles 20, the Lord said the battle was his, and he fought it for them. That's in praise. But worship, we're not running away from things, we're just running to him to honor him. And then do you think Yahweh, if we're willing and we are wholeheartedly worshiping him, spirit, soul, and body, that he, knowing how we are coming before him, is going to allow something on his end to interfere with that? When worship is reserved for him and him alone, he will squash anything that attacks you, because your attention and your vulnerability and the wholeness of who you are is presented to him as a living sacrifice. Oh, I'm telling you, there are levels of this. And these three things, worship, word, and service. Our mission statement, we are presenting the kingdom in worship, word, and service with excellence in motion. And we are going to understand that we're not just simply doing a religious thing, nor is the body of Christ worldwide, because as we come together all over this nation, you right now, as you join with us in the family of God, as you're listening right now, it's amazing the transformation that's going to take place in your region, in your province, in your city, in your neighborhood, in your home, in your family, in your life personally, because God is God, and there is no one like him except his children, whom he has made in his image and likeness, and made us like him. But he is sovereign, he is God, and we're only like him because he has made us like him. Apart from Jesus, we can do absolutely nothing, but in him, all things are possible, especially for those who believe. And so as we come before him, believing who he is, understanding who he is, and worshiping him with spirit, soul, and body, with all we are and all that we have, with all our soul, our might, and our spirit, and our being, our might, our spirit, and our being, as we come before God that way, the world who is waiting to hear his voice through you will experience deliverance, wholeness, and freedom that they've never known before, because of a worshiper like you worshiping God and worshiping God only.
Thank you for listening. We welcome you to attend our worship service Saturdays at 10 a.m. with a special time of pre-service teaching and worship beginning at 8:30. We also invite you to contact our Miracles Global Prayer Center to receive prayer or to hear an encouraging scripture. The number is 989-401-9159. To find out more about us and our services, visit us at facebook.com/Miracles Center Christian Fellowship.